Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
And welcome to Good News. This is Deacon Al, and we come to you every Saturday and Sunday evening here on Catholic Spirit Radio, talking about the readings from our Sunday Mass. Readings from both the Old and the New Testament for Catholics and non-Catholics. I mean, even all Christian faiths believe in the Scriptures. And so we're going to look at what we talked about in church today and talk about how this affects us in our life, and especially affects us as we close in on the Christmas season. So we're drawing a close to Advent here with our fourth Sunday of the Advent season and Christmas just a week away. Our readings talk about this Advent, this expectation, as seen through the eyes of Mary. So in our first reading from the prophet Micah, we're going to hear about the expectation of the coming of the Messiah through a woman. And then as we get into our gospel, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the gospel always talks something about the pregnancy of Mary. And in this case, it talks about the visitation to Elizabeth. And what a great moment. The meeting not only of Mary and her relative, who are both pregnant under very different circumstances, but the fact that there's this link, this bond between Elizabeth's child, John, who will become John the Baptist, and Mary's child, who will become the Savior of the universe. The link that they have even before they're born. And I just think that's such a beautiful moment in Scripture. So we're going to start with the reading from the prophet Micah from the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord, "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has born, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand firm and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord his God, and they shall remain for now his greatness, and shall reach to the ends of the earth. He shall be peace." The word of the Lord. And to read through that, it's kind of interesting because you could take parts of that reading and apply it to Christ, but you could also apply it to John the Baptist. They share, so much of their characteristics are shared between the two of them, to the point that some people even thought that John might be the Christ. But he, of course, corrects them on that. But we see through this prophet, he's actually talking about both the coming of John the Baptist and the coming of the Christ. And I love the fact that he points out that the origin is from old, from ancient times, that the Christ who's to come already exists. He's coming into this present time from a past time. So we know Christ to be the Alpha and the Omega, always was, always will be. Even in Genesis, we hear reference to Christ as the Word of God, and that the Word is made man. So we know that Jesus has existed in tandem with God, two persons of the one God, and with the Holy Spirit, who in Genesis passes over the water and brings life to the earth. So we see all three persons of God existing from the very beginning and having always existed. So Micah, even though he might not realize fully what he's saying, is supporting the fact that Christ isn't a new person, but he's an old person being made new through his incarnation as man. Then we go to our second reading, which is a letter to the Hebrews. And Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me.'" So he's talking to God, his Father, right now as he says this. "In holocausts and sin offerings, you took no delight. Then I said, as is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God. First, he says, sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law. Then he says, behold, I come to do your will. He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will we have been consecrated, through the offering of the body and blood of Christ for all. The word of the Lord. So what Paul reminds us of in Jesus' own words is that the offerings being made to God through the Israelites isn't what God really wanted. They were established in order to teach them something and to teach them the value of sacrifice and how difficult sacrifice can be. If you think it's difficult to take your first fruits, the best part of your crops, and see them burned and given away in the glory to God, or take your prize heifer and have it slaughtered for the glory of God, to make that sacrifice of the best of what you have, if that was hard for you, imagine how hard it was for God to give the best of what he had, to see his only son, to see Jesus Christ go through the torment of his passion in order to pay for our sins, the innocent sacrificed for the guilty. Imagine how difficult that was. So God never needed or wanted those sacrifices of grain and fish and animals. He did that in order to train us to understand what he really wants. The great sacrifice he really wants from us is our obedience. What a difficult thing that is to give up. We think it's hard to put a dollar in the collection basket. Imagine how hard it is to really give up your will to the will of God, to really sacrifice yourself and to say, I give myself to you. For me, as I was raised and as my parents were raised, that was the reason for the respect given to clergy and to those in the religious life, to the nuns. It wasn't because of their degree of holiness. It was because of their degree of sacrifice. What they were willing to give up in their lives in order to do God's will, in order to say, don't just take a dollar from me, or $10, or a sheep, or a cow, or my best parts of my crop, but take me in service for you. That's why people in clergy deserve our respect. That's why people in religious life deserve our respect. And over the last 15 or 20 years, unfortunately, due to the actions of a very small portion of those who entered that life for false reasons, the vast majority of the people serving God through the clergy and through the religious life are really wonderful people who have made a huge sacrifice in their lives for us in order to serve us as representatives of God's love in our community. So think about that as you see those members of Christ's body in church and in the community, that they have sacrificed so much to do what they do and be who they are, that they gave God far more than most of us are willing to give. So we see in our readings that's really what God's after, is that sacrifice of ourselves. And we do that in big ways, and we do that in little ways. Those of you who give to local charities, that's part of that giving up of your will to follow what God's commands of helping neighbor, of loving neighbor. Those who serve the church through various ministries, teaching Sunday school, being a lector at the church service, entering the religious life, or at least discerning for the religious life, maybe attending seminary, not even completing seminary, but going, but making that effort to follow Christ's calling. That's the sacrifice that God wants of us, that willingness to enter deeper into a relationship. Even just doing morning prayers every day, that's part of that sacrifice of, you know, rather than get up and going out for a cup of coffee with friends, I'm going to sit first for 10, 15, 20 minutes and first do my prayers and give my thanks to God for another day. That's the sacrifice that God calls us to. Something to think about as we prepare for the coming of Christ this Christmas. So then we have a reading. We just did Paul to the Hebrews. So we're going to come back after these few messages, and we're going to talk about the Gospel of Luke. You're listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Stay tuned. Good News will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Christmas and year-end giving constitutes one-third of all charitable donations made annually. Please join others in supporting Catholic Spirit Radio during December. Donations do great good and are tax-deductible. What's more, the first $5,000 donated this month will be matched by two generous listeners. To give to our Christmas and year-end giving campaign, please visit our website at CatholicSpiritRadio.com today.
Please join us for this March for Life. On January 8th, the Catholic Diocese of Peoria Respect Life Ministries is sponsoring a bus pilgrimage to Chicago. It is open to adults 18 years and older. Cost is $25 for adults and $10 for college students. Please join us for this very important March for Life. Contact Cecilia at 309-671-1550.
Welcome back to Good News. This is Deacon Al on Catholic Spirit Radio. We're here every Saturday and Sunday evening from 8 to 8:30, and we welcome you and so happy you're joining us today. If you want to hear more of our past programs, you can go to Catholic Spirit Radio's website, and on that website, you can go to the blog section, and all of our past programs are on the blogs, and it's about, I think we're into like our sixth month now. So we should have a couple dozen, few dozen shows on there, and give a listen. They're only 30 minutes long, almost a year. Have it really been a year?
I think almost.
Wow, that's gone so fast, so fast. Doesn't feel like that. So we have a lot of shows waiting for you. You can just, they're 30 minutes long, so it won't take you more than a month or two to listen to all of them that you've missed. And, they're brilliant. Hopefully there's something in there that you'll enjoy, that you'll be able to use. And we look forward to doing more. And if you want to ask a question about the Catholic faith or the Christian beliefs in general, please feel free to drop me an email at my mailbox at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org, and we'll be happy to answer your questions on the air. You don't even have to agree with the Catholic faith. If you want to know why we do this, or, hey, I think this is wrong and this is why, I'd be glad to talk about that and explain why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe. I think you'll be rather astonished to find how much of it is anchored very, very deeply in Scripture. And it's just, I love doing that. I think that my favorite way to share the faith is by answering questions. So we hope you'll write us goodnews@catholicspiritradio.org. So here we are almost through Advent, really getting ready now for the friends and families to start arriving at Christmas time. So you're preparing your house. You're getting everything cleaned up and straightened out and ready to go. And that's what we're doing internally with our interior spiritual life during Advent, is we're so excited about this upcoming event of the birth of Christ and the second coming of Christ, that we're doing what we can to straighten the paths in our lives, to level everything out, to clean up our brokenness, and present ourselves before Christ in the most Christ-like way that we possibly can. So our reading today, again, since it's the last Sunday of Advent, the gospel reading is always about Mary on the last Sunday of Advent because she plays a huge role. Christ didn't just appear in the manger. There was actual labor involved. This took human effort to bring God into the world. He didn't have to come that way. He chose to. He chose to be very human, to really be able to relate to us on a very intimate level. And so our reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, and it's the beginning of Mary's visitation to her relative Elizabeth. I say relative because Scripture says relative. We tend to think that they're cousins. It makes sense that they'd be cousins. But Scripture calls them relatives, so we're going to go with that. And Mary and Elizabeth both find themselves pregnant at the same time and under very different circumstances, but yet in sort of a shared circumstance. So Luke says that Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she encountered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at that moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed what was spoken to you by the Lord, that would be fulfilled, the gospel of the Lord." So we're hearing Elizabeth's side of this conversation in the verses that follow in this chapter of Luke. This is the first chapter, 39 through 45. Beginning with verse 46, we start to hear Mary's, at the beginning of chapter 2, we start hearing Mary's response to all of this. But what's happened at this moment, Mary has just found out that she's going to bear the Christ child. Gabriel has come to her. She's betrothed to Joseph. She's married to Joseph. The marriage process is a little lengthier in the ancient Hebrew tradition than it is today. We consider marriage, you're married all at once. You have a marriage ceremony and boom, you're married. But there was a contractual portion in the Jewish marriage. So they were already contracted to each other. They were married through contract. What they haven't done is had the celebration yet, and Joseph has not taken Mary into his home for the conclusion of the marriage, okay, for the bonding, the human bonding to solidify the marriage. So they're betrothed, so they are married. And after they're married and before Joseph has taken Mary into her home, Gabriel visits Mary and says that you've been chosen through of all women throughout all time. You've been filled with grace by God in order to bear his child if you agree, to bear the Christ child. So Mary agrees. Now she has to tell Joseph. So now you have this young woman who is newly betrothed, has not moved in with her husband yet, and finds herself pregnant. All is not good in Mary's household. Even though she knows the source of the pregnancy, and Joseph has now been told by Gabriel, he's had a visitation and has been told the source of the pregnancy, they still have a community to deal with. And it's a community that would stone this woman to death for what has happened, for becoming pregnant before she entered Joseph's house. And so this was probably a good time for Mary to take a road trip. And she decides to go see her cousin, her relative, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is at this point 3 months pregnant. And what's really amazing is that Elizabeth is an older woman. And from what Scripture tells us, we're guessing she's elderly, 80s, 90s years old, has wanted a child her whole life but has been barren. She and her husband, Zechariah, have been praying for a child for decades. and wondering why God has left her barren. And now out of their great perseverance and faith, God came to them and said, you will now bear a son. So both these women are now pregnant through the grace of God. One very, very young, who never expected to be pregnant at this point, and one very, very old, who always wanted to be pregnant and thought she was beyond that point in her life and now finds herself pregnant. So these are two really surprised women in different ways, but both through the same source. And Mary shows up and finds out at this point that Elizabeth is also pregnant. And as they meet, this three-month-old child in Elizabeth's womb jumps. And any woman who's been pregnant knows that feeling. That's a very, when the baby starts to kick, that's surprising enough. But for the infant to jump, can imagine what that must have felt like. And the surprise that Elizabeth felt at her age of that excitement within her womb. And she now realizes, hasn't even been told by Mary, realizes that Mary is bearing the Messiah. And so John feels the presence of the Messiah as well and leaps for joy. And we see that joy in the adult John the Baptist as he's waiting to meet the Christ again, knowing that he's coming. I think this is a good lesson for all of us, that God's grace comes to us sometimes when we least expect it, and sometimes after we've longed for it for a great period of time. It doesn't always come when we demand it. Jesus, I want you to do this for me now. God, I need this now. But sometimes he brings us his grace when we don't even know we want it. And sometimes he brings us his grace when it's time for us in God's own time and not necessarily in our own time. Elizabeth is graced with a child at God's time, not necessarily when she wanted it in her younger days, but through her perseverance in her prayer and in her relationship with God, she eventually gets what she's always wanted, what she's always desired when God felt it was right. Mary, who is totally unexpecting this wonderful gift from God, suddenly has this incredible grace to find out that from the time she was conceived, she was chosen by God to do this one thing that no other human being could do for him, and that was to become the vessel of his incarnation. So in our own lives, be patient. If you don't always get what you want, be patient. God knows what you desire, and if it's good for you, and it brings glory to God, it will happen, and it will be a great gift when it does, no matter how long you have to wait. And if you suddenly find yourself graced by God, don't refuse it. Realize what's been placed in front of you, and accept it the way Mary accepted her offer of being the mother of Christ. She said she could have said no. I mean, she didn't have to say yes. God gave her the opportunity to decide. And thankfully, she said yes. Had she said no, who knows what would have happened? Because she was it. There was no plan B. Mary was the way for Jesus to come into this world from the very beginning of time. This was planned. So had she used her free will to refuse God, think of what we would have lost. And think what we lose every time someone says no to God. Think of the millions of people who have found themselves with child when they didn't think it was convenient or came into their life at a time they weren't anticipating it, and they said no rather than yes. We have millions of examples of that in this dreadful thing called abortion. Think of how the world is different. We don't know what could have happened, who we killed in those abortions. We don't know what those millions of children could have become who they would have been in the world. The talent that we destroyed through abortion, the gifts that God tried to bring us at moments that we weren't prepared for. And so, unlike Mary, who said yes, we had mothers who said no. And think of the loss that that brought to all of us, not just to the mother. We all suffer that loss. So I think that's something that this reading, it's good to think about in this reading, that we have two different mothers graced with children at different times who both said yes and whose children changed the world. Hopefully someday when you're a parent, you will find that your child too will change the world. And what a great Christmas blessing that would be. We'll leave you with that. We won't be back next week. We have a special Christmas program for you that will air at this time. We hope you'll enjoy it on the Nativity of Christ our Lord. And that will be our Christmas gift to you. From everyone here at Catholic Spirit Radio, God bless.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.